Chapter 1. In his arms she rode. Gentle strokes touched her soul. Happy tears marked their abode. Hot breaths and... Followed by a deep sigh, Tori turned over the bedsheet covering her. She reached for her husband's hand, but only the indentation of where Mabon's body should be lying remained. The hollowness consumed every ounce of Tori, like the sinking of her body in the pool. She opened her eyes to the darkness of the room, jumped up, and switched the lamp on, knocking the alarm clock off the nightstand. The light blinded her and forced her to squint. Midnight. A strange sensation traveled through her body and goosebumps formed on her arms. He probably went to the bathroom or went for something to eat. But she knew him, and the thought had no merit. He never ate a midnight snack. Too many things to do on the farm for him to waste his sleep. Something else she loved about him. Cold. Tori realized she hadn't any clothes on from their lovemaking, and she slipped on her kimono spa robe a friend gave her to cover her yet-to-be abs of steel and slipped the sandals on her feet. She patted her small jelly belly and decided her legs were really what caught Mabon's attention. She pulled her soft brunette hair back and walked toward the kids' room. Luckily, the twins were still sound asleep, so she headed downstairs. Her hand clung onto the wooden banister as she descended. The darkness devoured the steps and the lamp at the bottom. Beneath her fingers, the wood felt thick and oily smooth. Gone. Gone was the sound of laughter from the 4-year-old twins. Gone was the dog's wagging tail against the steps. Gone was Tori's husband. She clutched the string of her robe and headed for the door. She could see the yellow moon through the white drapes of the window and the faint light meeting her gaze from the front door. When she opened it, the cool summer breeze hit her face like a puff of air from a flame, and the cricket song silenced the beating of her heart. The red barn was lit from the inside. Her heart stammered. Tori removed the sandals, slid on the rain boots by the door, and ran out under the night sky. She went past the fields to where the light shone from the barn like a beacon. Strange that the animals hadn't stirred, or that Mabon would be up at this time. Reassuring herself that he had just remembered a chore he had forgotten to do, she proceeded. Deep down, this was out of the ordinary, and she found her knees trembling. The air continued to strike Tori's body, and she trembled even more. She slapped her forehead, for what an idiot she was, but after remembering Mabon's jacket that hung inside the barn, she continued on her way. For some reason, Tori paused at the barn's two large doors. She traced the wooden handle with her fingers. Something inside rustled like autumn leaves, and her breathing stopped for a few seconds. It's probably nothing, but she wasn't going to stand outside when all she had on was a robe. The door creaked as Tori unlatched it and swung it open. As her eyes adjusted to the brightness and the scent of leather struck her nose, the rustling continued, probably from the tussle of hay. But to her surprise, she saw them on her husband's beautiful tanned back. Wings! Her body flooded with numbness, making her unable to walk. They were white, marvelous wings, attached to the part of the trapezius and rhomboid regions of his back. She knew because dealing with animals acquaints one with anatomy.
Tori!
Mabon's voice screeched like a tidal wave in her ears, and she covered them. He ran to her, and the wings disappeared.
I'm not out of my mind, she said. I'm not.
Hush. He placed his finger on her lips and took her in his arms, the same muscular arms that had held her close earlier. She let her body be cradled, letting her fingers trace the hem of his jeans that hung loosely on his hips. Then she spotted her, the young girl behind the haystack. Her wings were as brilliant as Mabon's. Tori pushed him away and pounded her fists on his chest. Not that it would affect him in the least, his body had always been taut.
Tori, let me explain. What's going on?
She stepped away and secured her robe.
Who is she? He looked back and placed one hand on his chin, as if thinking about what lies to tell her.
Tori paced in front of the doors. The three horses eyed her nervously and nodded from their stalls. Two cows mooed, and the pigs squealed behind their pens. She glanced at the high roof and the hay from the loft. The feed was trickling its smell out the barn doors. She decided to keep an eye on the young beauty, who was still keeping her distance. Then she crossed her arms and waited, waited for the lies, waited for an explanation. At least she owed that much to the love of her life.
Tori, this isn't how I wanted you to find out.
Tori's arms fell to her sides.
What exactly am I not supposed to find out? That there's a strange girl inside our barn and she sprouts wings just like you?
He cocked his head and the horses neighed and stirred.
It's not like that. Then who is she?
She's an Avon.
An Avon?
My daughter from a previous life.
All those years. All those nights. What did it amount to? Did I do something to send him away from our home?
She shook her head, eyes darting around the confines of the barn. He reached for her.
Oh, you bastard!
Tori pounded her fists again on his bulging chest until he grabbed her hands. The look in his dual-colored eyes told Tori he lamented her finding out.
What really hurt was that he didn't trust her enough to tell her about his ex-wife or lover, whatever.
He let go of Tori's hands and turned around, pulled down the heavy green jacket from its hook on the pole beside the horse's stalls, and rested it on her shoulders. Then he motioned for the girl to come forward. The girl drooped her head low and stepped out from behind the hay. Unlike Mabon, her wings didn't disappear. They remained folded to her side. She held her hands together. Tattoos wrapped around her biceps with geometric designs, but there was one below her right ear at the nape of her neck that resonated with Tori. Mabon had one on his shoulder, an elaborate small sword between angel wings. She knew it well.
Isn't she a little young to have those on her arms? It's a rite of passage that would disappear with time, the girl said. Her voice was melodic. A rite of what?
Tori looked to her husband, raising her upper lip.
I'm going to sit here until you straighten my head out or I wake up from this erratic dream.
It's no dream, the girl raised her head, and Tori saw her eyes, one sky blue and the other honey brown like Mabon's. Deep lines creased her face, and Tori curled her lips further.
Tori, he took her hand and sat beside her. I'm part Avon, too.
She concentrated on the floor. The shavings needed sweeping. She shook her head, then hugged herself and wished she had put on real clothes.
Avons are winged people sworn to protect this country from forces unknown to humans.
Tori tried to let his words sink in. Anything to make sense of what was happening to this man she loved and their life together.
But why?
She managed to say. My mother was queen, he said. When she fell in love with a human, she was thrown out of the Avon kingdom. As punishment, her powers were dampened. She came to live here and gave birth to me. Gerardo, my father, taught me everything about the farming industry, and she taught me about my place.
So how did she come into play?
Tori motioned to the girl, who walked up and stood beside Mabon.
My mother and I returned to the Avon kingdom and recruited some aid to win the throne back, Mabon said.
Tori met Mabon's eyes and saw the hurt swelling inside him.
I'm married to an Avon?
A mate was chosen for me to reinstate me back into the flock, and I had Seda.
Flock? As in a group? A group of birds?
The girl placed her hand on Mabon's shoulder, and he cupped it with his. Tori watched their closeness and gulped.
I guess something went wrong, and that's why you had to leave her behind.
He nodded, and Seda brushed her cheek against his. It was something Tori and Mabon did in the privacy of their bed, a gentle gesture of love.
Avons age differently from humans. Great! You must be like 100 years old then. Not exactly there yet.
Tori shut her eyes and placed her hand on top of her head for a few seconds
before passing her fingers through her hair, stopping at the base of the neck.
Did you turn into a bird?
We're not a bird species.
Another race?
He nodded.
As in, not human.
He lowered his eyes and squeezed Tori's hand.
So where does this place us?
Tori stood and let go of his hand. Even though he hadn't told her the whole story, she heard enough to know his life as an Avon was beginning again, and that she might never see him.
Are our twins in danger?
I don't know.
But you have to go back.
He nodded and stood. His wings appeared again, huge, shimmering, and wonderful. Tori gasped. There wasn't enough time to get adjusted to the idea. Seda walked to the barn door and waited. Tori only had admiration for her. It must have been hard living without him, especially when her kingdom was in flux. Would she be able to deal with the truth after he left? What would she tell the twins? Was she okay with this? Mabon put his warm hands on Tori's cheeks and nuzzled her nose, then tenderly kissed her on the lips. I'll return to you. He flew past Seda, who followed him. The animals in the barn got restless, displeased with the disruption to their slumber. Tori watched as Mabon flew off to where his roots pulled him. To what end, she wanted to know. She wanted to know where her children stood. She wanted to know where this put her.